Today we're more concerned with the mysticism of this message than the metaphysical side. And I believe this will be the way we will have to go in order to attain a consciousness of truth, which is not a mental consciousness. As long as you have the capacity to sit back and think about whether it's this way or that way, we're not in Christ. For in Christ there are no thinking processes. Now, in Christ, there's no inside and outside. And we've reached the part of our journey where the inside and the outside are one. When you apply this to any of the healings, you notice quickly that when Jesus looks at a paralytic, he's not seeing it from where he stands as the world sees it who reads about it, or as any of us would see it if we were looking at a paralytic ourselves. We see Jesus there, the paralytic here. And they're both illusion. And even us seeing the two, we're illusion too. There was no paralytic outside of Jesus. Infinite Christ has no outside. There's no paralytic outside of you. There's only one outside of your person. But that's the wrong consciousness. In your true consciousness, there's no paralytic outside of your infinite self. Nor is there one inside of your infinite self, because it's perfect spirit. You can't find the paralytic outside of infinity or inside of it. And the reason is because you're looking at a mental image called a paralytic. And this, which is Jesus looking at the paralytic, is a mental image that we entertain too. But Christ isn't there, standing in one form, looking at another form. Christ is I am in the midst of both images. I am the life. Not an abstraction. I am the real life of that paralytic. And if I am the life, there's no paralytic there. There's I am. Not reaching the visible sense of human consciousness, because there's no one to see I am. There's no soul consciousness there to see I am there. And over here, this isn't Jesus anymore. This is I am. I am where Jesus appears. I am where paralytic appears. And I am all that is behind both images. There's nothing to heal there. There's just the realization that I am. And fortunately, this over here called Jesus is the realized I am. And therefore, this over here, which is not the realized I am, becomes the realized I am, and the paralysis disappears. Now you stand in Jesus' shoes for a moment, and even look at a paralytic outside of your personal self, with here is now. Over there now is not a paralytic, because there's no over there. That over there is here to Christ. Therefore, here, Christ, the meaning of that realization is there. Then the power of Christ automatically is made visible. Now think for a moment in silence with me. Let's see if we can get a noise from the outside that we could hear. If we hear a noise out there, the minute you hear the noise, let your mind register, here I am. And you'll begin to get the feeling of the I-ness of you which is here. Usually we get the noises. No, we don't have one. As I speak to you, this can be the noise, as I speak to you, let your conscious awareness be that the eye of you is right here, where this voice is speaking. And that eye of you which is here is the here-ness of your being. Whenever you hear a sound anywhere, quickly register, here I am, in your consciousness. And you'll see how it shows you what someday will be a permanent, automatic thing without you taking thought about it. Wherever a sound occurs, I am here. And that means the you that is sitting where you seem to be are where that sound is. You are where that sound is. The Jesus standing there looking at a paralytic is where the paralytic is. Right where the paralytic is, here I am. Do you see how there's not two separate places? There's only one and it's all here. That's the very same principle on which you have read about people who, in their high states, are able to walk out of one body and leave it somewhere and go somewhere else. We heard about this minister in earlier centuries who was very adept at living in the invisible self. And he was at one sermon, right on the pulpit, making a sermon, when he remembered that he was committed elsewhere to be in the choir, right then. And so he said to his congregation, excuse me, and he just stood there and lowered his head, quiet, a few minutes. And then he resumed. And right at that moment, in another church, he was singing in the choir. This is very incredible to the human mind, because it thinks of two places. But you see, the truth of you is that you are right now in more than two places. And we want to get to know that. The bodily you is here. But that's your mental creation. The soul self is everywhere. And so the you of you is in many places right now without having to move a muscle. And you must become conscious that you are in every place, because that is infinite consciousness. You don't have to stop the congregation and go soul traveling somewhere to be in another place, because I am here and I am here and I am here now. And how valuable this will be is quite evident when someone tells you your brother or sister in another city is sick or something of that nature. I am here. Will be your instant consciousness. You won't have to go into a deep meditation. You won't have to know a lot of truth and a lot of memorized formulae. There will be that consciousness that I am here, which needs take no thought for your life, which has no outside, but which is the infinite here-ness. And then you won't waste your time trying to do something out there when there is no out there. There is only yourself where out there seems to be. Now, we won't all become mystics overnight, but we do have to rise above this third-dimensional world of matter and atoms we do have to prepare the way for the journey into the highest self. All healing that is any value is by grace. The human self does nothing, but the soul realization is made manifest as what we call the healing. All supply that is truly supply is by grace. All good fortune that is truly good fortune is by grace. The health, the peace, the harmony, the prosperity, the cordiality, the graciousness, the wisdom, all that flows out of the soul, making itself manifest in our so-called visible experience, comes by the grace of a consciousness which is always perfect. The infinite consciousness which manifests its perfection on the holy ground where you stand. Now, there is no place where holy ground is not. There is no such place. Even where the mortuary appears to be, only the invisible heaven is. That's one of the supreme illusions of this world. The appearance of death and lack and limitation and disease and suffering and pain is all in the mental universe. Our new horizon takes us into the soul universe, and the mental universe will slowly dissolve. The new law that takes over is the law of reality. Now, we have read in this chapter something that we had probably not noticed before, but it begins to sneak into our consciousness now with greater meaning. So when you see this, I in the midst of you will raise up the temple of your body, a whole new body. That we had easily passed over so many times, we thought that our old body will be made new, improved. But no, a whole new body. Why? Because this isn't the body you were going to live in. The body we're going to live in is our body, our spiritual body, and it is not consumed in the fire. It is not a paralytic. There's a wonderful thing you can do in the mind while you're waiting to attain more of the soul realization, and that's to know that if God didn't make something, it isn't there. Even if you were a person looking at a paralytic and not in the soul, you could look at a paralytic and say, did God make it? Did God make a paralytic? And where is it? It isn't there. Did God make poverty? Well, where is it? Is there another source, another creator, another cause than God cause? Where are these things that God didn't make that we see? And so we have a simple little way of identifying anything as reality or unreality. Did God make it? Did God make poor vision? Did God make bad hearing? Then why do I have bad vision and bad hearing? Because I live in the mind. And I live in the mind that God did not make, because God didn't make a human mind. The mind which God did not make, how can it have perfect vision? How can it have anything perfect? It eventually gives up the ghost for that reason. And as long as I live in the body that God didn't make, why should the laws of God apply to it? That's why the brain has its tumors and the heart has its attacks, because in my mind self, I perpetuate my mental creation. You know, there's even a place where just in a second you have this glimpse and you can't hold it. But you realize your whole physical form is nothing but a series of mental impressions that you have received, conveying to you the form of you. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of mental impressions have left you with the impression that you're there in a form. But once you peel away each illusion, you find some of it is a visible illusion, some is a touch illusion. Every sense has been involved in recreating your Christ self into this illusion called the me, which is the ultimate supreme illusion. There never was a me, there was only I infinite. And when you catch that second in which you know that all I am is a lot of sense impressions glued together in my mind, you begin to get that vastness of looking out in a universe which is not obstructed by forms, by matter, by invisible atoms. You clean out of your mind all belief in anything atomic or visible or tangible or material. You live in your unobstructed, perfect, infinite, invisible, one universe. And now there's the paralytic. It's instantaneous. There wasn't any paralytic to be there. This cosmic image in time and space, you see it for what it is without taking thought. I am there. Now, the full Godhead is there. I don't have to think about it. It's there. And it knows, and it does, and it maintains, and it supports itself. It creates and does not permit any variation from its perfection. This is your soul consciousness. You see the bird, and instantly, something in you says, this is I invisible. And all of the space between the bird and your physical form disappears in your consciousness because it is all I invisible. And you rest. You're not worried about that bird being hurt anymore. The moment you find yourself giving up fear, concern, doubt, distrust, suspicion, you'll know you have caught the soul realm. And that's how this whole new body begins to be part of your awareness. You're not forming it. You're becoming conscious of it. Because this body is bigger than this room. This body you become consciousness is the body that is from here to the bird and from that bird to the next bird and throughout the universe. You become conscious of your infinite body. Just think, as you multiply this sense of body into an infinite body, how that infinite body is fed by an infinite mind, and how that all flows to where this visible body seems to be. Do you see how grace then is only what you yourself cast out upon the waters coming back? As you become conscious of your infinite self becomes conscious, expressing. And the tree of life puts out its own fruit that way. All that you begin to experience is nothing more than your own expanded consciousness. And so that's why when Joel says something here, it begins to have another meaning for us. The sun, the moon, and the stars up there in the sky are all under God's government. Ah, now we can see what he was getting at. The government that is there is the invisible, living spirit that we are seeing as these atomic stars, this atomic moon, this atomic sun. The invisible government is there as God. What we are seeing is our visible concept of it. Just as we are seeing the visible concept of ourselves, but behind it is I, and I am here. I am here in the sky. I am here as perfection now, being perfect, loving, ising. And all of that that he's speaking of as the eye behind the sky, behind the moon, behind the star, this is the eye of your being. To be conscious of this eye is to bring your universe into visible harmony. You're getting out of finite me. At the back of the chapter, you've noticed the 6-7 chapters he refers to, New Horizon, God is One, and so forth, in the other books. We won't do those specifically next time. We'll do Supply and Secrecy, chapter 11. But you can see what's happening. We're preparing to make the mystical eye our consciousness. Not a book that Joel wrote, but our consciousness, as it was his, as it was the consciousness of Jesus Christ, as it was the consciousness of Saint Teresa, as it was the consciousness of Buddha, as it was the consciousness of all those who had discovered the futility of the logic and the reasoning power of man's mind. As he struggles to improve a world which is based upon the nothingness of the atom. And if science did nothing again in its discovery of the atom, upon which we have based our mental universe and our material universe, it has proven the truth of the statements of Jesus Christ while it is denying the truth of them. It's almost like Pilate, who did us all a great turn while he was making possible the crucifixion of Jesus. Because he was part of the divine plan to reveal the nothingness of that crucifixion. There had to be one for us to know the nothingness of it. Science, which is largely atheistic, is proving the presence of God. Pilate, who couldn't care less about Jesus Christ, was proving that the eternal spirit cannot be crucified. And all this is now. I, in the midst of Pilate, I in the midst of Herod, I in the midst of Caiaphas the high priest, I in the midst of the rabble who was spitting, I in the midst of all those who participated, I am showing you there is no power in form, for in 3 days that same form will be there because I, in the midst, I am the power. Now, and that eye is the eye of you now. Before Abraham was, that eye is the eye of you now. That eye of you restores the lost years of the locusts that have eaten the false fruits of a material world. That is the mystical eye. It is the self. And it will never be crucified. It will never be in pain. It will never be lacking. It will never be limited. It is the perfect self of God. And it is yourself. For we are all that one self. When you remove all that appears, there I am. And when you put back all that appears, I am still there, where the visible lie seems to be. When you are that I, instead of this me, then there is no place where you are not, and all of you is infinitely perfect. Now that's our soul consciousness. If you have the time and the inclination, pick up your Bible anywhere. And in the New Testament, you look at any so-called healing. Put yourself in the shoes of the healer and stand there in the knowledge that this that I am looking at, this form in this problem over there, I will face it with, here I am. Now I am. Now I am the is of God, being God, perfect. One infinite I here and none other, and then rest in the Word. Be still. And know that this I which you have declared is God. Ask yourself then, if I, that God, made this condition, and you will be able to say no. And therefore, shall I improve that condition? If God didn't make it, shall I improve what God did not make? If God didn't make it, can I correct it? If God didn't make it, is it there? Or am I under the atomic illusion? And if it is not there, what is my solution? Be still. Let the mind which sees it there be still. And then the soul will tell you this truth which makes you free, revealing only I am there, whole, complete, and perfect. You apply these simple little rules to any of the healings in the Bible, and you will see that the power of I in you is the healer. When you will stand on those, you will be walking in the soul consciousness. And the grace that flows will be the sign to tell you you have attained that consciousness. It will be quick, it will be sharp, it will be powerful, and it will be glorious. And it will pave the way for many new mansions of understanding. Now, supply and secrecy. And we don't yet know why secrecy is used with supply, but there must be a reason. When we meet again, I'd like to know that in your re-identification, you are including that all time is included within the I-ness of your being now. That all space is included within the here-ness of your being now. That all past, present, and future is in the is-ness of your being now. That you have taken all that has ever existed and is and ever will be and put it into a one that is now being perfect. And that is you. That is yourself. And if you will even work with that in a measure, you will see the power of self-revelation, of self-expression, of the divine being made manifest as the Word brought into human experience as living grace. If any of you care to rework your re-identifications, fine. If any of you wish to put what you have up here, fine. Either way. And then before we get into mystical I, we all want to start with a proper re-identification of self as living soul. Thank you again.